Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 640 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today is July 18th, 2021. I am your host today, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And joining me today, spinning the decks as best we can, Robin Tate.
Hey. Hi, everybody. It's me, Robin Tate, at Bungo the Saint in Northern Ireland, sweltering and spinning the decks in a rather cranky sort of way. But sure, I don't know.
We're navigating some audio issues over the past couple weeks, but it's all good.
Mark, help! Yes.
Well, hopefully we'll have Mark back next week. We can dive into that. Also, I may have a solution, Ron. This is based on my recent purchases. That may be...
Was you rice baller, did you?
Yes, I bought a new rice baller. No, I love the rice baller I have. Just talking about some new Stream Deck equipment that has been coming out.
Oh.
Not only the Stream Deck, but they actually have some mixing amps for your microphones. And I have a feeling the mix amp that we have might be
a bit shit.
Yeah, I think that is part of the problem.
Do you know what? This is my second one.
Yeah.
The first one was great at the beginning, and then it just got crap. And this one here seems to be going the same way.
Yeah. So I have that on order. I'll shoot you the link. Okay. Of what I got.
All right. Okay. But,
it might make things simple because it's all software based as opposed to
the
board.
Okay.
The mixing. So it might not.
It's simple. There's not much to it when you get your head around it, but I just don't understand why the. Yeah. So messed up. I don't know. Maybe just Mark has the golden touch or something, but I haven't changed anything on this thing. It's just weird. Anyway, and that's behind the curtain.
That is behind the curtain. What also is behind the curtain, or actually in front of the curtain, is we're on every Sunday as best we can, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, which is the best coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 3 p.m. if you're hanging out with Kim in the Central Time Zone. We are on Twitch live. We are on YouTube live. And, of course, you can always catch the audio version on rebroadcast. Doesn't look like we have any birthdays to celebrate as of right now. However, my wife's birthday is coming up next week, so I will put her on the birthday wish list now. She turns 22 on the 22nd.
You're putting her on the birthday wish list. Yeah, okay. So you're hoping for some birthday goodness then? You're going to do your best?
If I put on my best, maybe I'll get the best. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Anyway, let's play a birthday song.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
Sorry, did you want a birthday song for Cindy? I'll phone her up and... Robin's
there. That's okay. We'll play her birthday song next week as well.
Kim Impossible. Kimster is in the chat and she says it's her birthday on Wednesday.
Ah, well, there we go. Then we need to actually play a proper birthday song.
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Insert name here. Happy birthday to you! Gentleman was not recognized.
That's about the way I actually sing birthday songs for the record.
Yeah, I can imagine last night, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, yeah. We'll dive into that in just a moment. Yes, three happy birthdays.
She has everything she needs. The jacket.
She does have the Looney Tunes jacket now. That's a sport and special right there, if you ask me. Kim, not on the podcast because she's technically working right now, but at least she's being able to listen in.
Ooh.
Yes. Hi, Kim. Hello, Lord, in the chat. Thanks for joining. Well, let's just dive into it. Let's talk about what's been going on this past. I hear me on the Twitch screen.
Yeah.
I think she was just giving you shit, but I could be wrong.
Just Kim could be just putting our chin. You know the way she likes to yank our chins?
Yes, she does.
He works the room.
So, it's been a kind of crazy week for me. Monday, Tuesday, between the 2 days, we booked a couple different vacations.
Yeah. So
at the end of July, I will be in Anaheim to Disneyland for just a couple days. Mm-hmm. So, just a little 4-day kind of getaway weekend outing. And then in October, well, technically September 30th is when we leave, but October, we're going to be in Florida. Originally, we were going to go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
This is way back when. Then COVID came and screwed all that up. And now Hawaii is just kind of a shit show. It's packed. And they're still very heavily mask mandated, all of that stuff. And so we just decided, you know what? Forget Hawaii. So then we were going to do Mexico. But my wife and my son needed to get their passports. We went and got their passports taken care of. However, they're so backed up on passport applications that it's not guaranteed we'll get them in time for when we wanted to go in October. So then we pivoted again and we said, screw it. We're going back to Florida. And so we're going to spend a couple days at Disneyland, but also this time we're going to do at least a day at Universal.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So fabulous. I'm looking forward to it. It's vacation long overdue. That vacation will be kind of 8 days, so a little bit longer, and just getting away and staying in a nice resort hotel location.
So when you go, say, to Universal, do you just buy a day ticket, like a one-day ticket? Or do you buy one of the packages for Disney?
Yeah, for Universal, we bought the one-day ticket because we really are planning only to be there for 1 day. But for Disneyland, we ended up doing a 3-day base ticket. We didn't bother doing the park hoppers, and that's primarily because our past experience with Disney Florida is the parks are so spread out.
Yeah, it's hard work.
You're not going to hop. You're just going to be in one park for 1 day, one park in the next day. And so that's what we ended up doing.
They kind of screw you a little bit. Well, for us as non-US residents, right, it's more expensive to buy the tickets. And if you want to, I would love to go and buy a 3-day ticket for Universal and a 3-day for Disney. I can't, those are not available to me.
Really? What?
7 and 14 days is the norm. It's the only way you can really buy them from the UK. You have to go very, very hard and deep to dig into it. Wow. It's big, big bucks. So, and just do it on the, because this time we go to Universal, so much, you know, we know it really well, but I want to go back again because we're back in December. And there's lots of new rides there. There's the new, the Hagrid motorbike ride. There is the brand new Jurassic Park coaster, which just opened about 3 weeks ago. It's now the fastest coaster in the park. Hulk has been redone. The last time I was there, it was like a week later it reopened. Damn it. Yeah. So, but I want to go back there, but I don't know if I want to spend a whole week there again. You know, 2 or 3 days in Universal will do me fine, but I would love to see Jasmine. I love the Disney for a day. I love Epcot. I think it's brilliant. Epcot's a really good day. And Animal Kingdom is, again, I think, is a really good park. Or 2 days in Disney and 1 day in Epcot, you know.
And that's pretty much what we're doing. So we're going to do the 3 days actually with Disney, but it'll be 1 day at Animal Planet. It'll be 1 day at Disneyland Kingdom, and it'll be 1 day at was it Disney Hollywood?
I think for us,
Epcot Center wasn't that great. It was good, but it wasn't for Colin in particular. It wasn't fantastic.
Okay. It is more of an yes, I mean, there are rides and bits and pieces there, but it's more of a grown, oh, look at the pretty flowers. Yes. Oh, isn't this, that lake lovely? Oh, look, Japan. Yes. Oh, let's go and try some of the food. Oh, look, in Mexico, let's go into the Aztec temple. Yeah, I can see kiddies get bored with that, I can imagine, but it's a bit more, grown up. The fireworks at night time around the lake was very, very good. Yeah. Hi, Mark.
That was a highlight.
Yeah.
Hello, Martin. Yeah. So anyway, so Disneyland booked. So
yeah,
our vacations sure, yeah, this year are set, and then we found out a long lost travel membership. Cindy had timeshare basically in Mexico. She actually was able to recover it, and so that will be our 2022 trip. Will be down to Mexico to Cabo San Lucas.
Oh, drop in. Okay. Yeah, well, leave some of Florida for me for December, please. Biden inflation will need to sort that out.
Let's hope it's under control.
Because he hasn't really opened up any international travel yet. So he needs to. He's becoming under a lot of pressure from the European countries to open it up. Boy, oh. So it's kind of, that's the only way we're going. So, yeah. Okay. So you were complaining earlier on today, Greg, about being a bit possibly under the weather. What did you do to yourself last night? Did you lose control? Did you have a blowout?
Almost.
What's up, message? And Kim had asked you what you were drinking, and you were going, margaritas and shots and this and that and this and that. It sounded like everything that was put in front of you, it was like, oh, Cookie Monster.
I didn't turn down a drink, I will say that. Yeah, so our neighbor had a birthday party for their 4-year-old son.
Don't make me laugh.
And so we said, okay, well, we'll go down, we'll hang out for the the 4-year-old's birthday party, and we get there, and of course, with any young children's party, there's the party for the kids and then there's the party for the adults, right? And okay, so this is actually the general contractor. He's good friends with us now. He redid our kitchen. So and he's literally 2 blocks down from us. So we walked down to his party.
Okay.
And we get there, they've got the pool in the backyard. They've got a slip and slide out in front of the house and a lot of alcohol flowing. So we just start drinking, and then we're like, okay, well, we'll take Colin home, feed him dinner, and maybe we'll come back. That was the mistake, the coming back part. So we get back there.
Serious drinkers come back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All the kids are basically pretty much gone or in bed or, it's thinned out from the kids, and now it's just the adults drinking and playing in the slip and slide. So this is probably where I should have stopped drinking, but of course I didn't. And then, my wife was just going crazy on the slip and slide with all of the other girls and hanging out, and they're up and down the slip and slide. No complaints there.
Would pay good money for that. Yeah.
Yeah. I did one trip down the slip and slide. I'm pretty sure I jacked up my wrist. Woke up this morning, my wrist is aching, my body's a little sore, I'm laughing. The bigger challenge was when I got home last night, I was in rough shape. I was feeling the effects of the alcohol. And, my wife tried to make a sandwich for both of us, and I'm like halfway into the sandwich, I'm just like, I can't. No. It's not going to go down well.
Right now.
Yeah, the good news is I did not throw up, did not get sick. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and smartly I took 4 Advil and drank a whole bunch of water, and I woke up actually feeling pretty well, okay. A little slow, sore with the wrist, but my wife, I think, caught the worst of the waking up part. She definitely was feeling the effects of the night of activities more than I was. But yeah, and then I ended up making up some bacon, eggs, hash browns for breakfast, and that seemed to be the final cure. Bacon is everything.
now and again, you just have to have a wee blowout.
You do. You absolutely do.
Mm, well.
And you had some blowouts of your own of late.
Yeah, well, so I took the last week off. I was off all week. It was wonderful. The weather here has been absolutely scorchio. I believe yesterday it was one of the hottest days on record, at least for 50 years or something, or more than that, or the absolute hottest day in Northern Ireland.
So 30, 31, something like that?
0.8 or something like that there, which is, I don't know, it's probably only...
like 86, I think.
It's time to...
87, yeah.
It's time to possibly take a jumper off for you. Yes. But for us, Scorchio, today it was not 31, it was maybe 25. Just gorgeous. The perfect temperature for us here. But all week it's been great. I mean, today, it was, this weekend was the Formula One racing cars, and that was in Silverstone in England. So I brought one of the big TVs from out of here and put it in the bandstand. And Charlie and I spent the afternoon watching the Formula One, which is a great race today. Very exciting. That was just lovely sitting outside, but not in the direct sun.
Right.
No, I had a lunch out there. That was lovely. Just really good. But earlier on in the week, so Saturday, we took the kids to a bouncy castle place. Sunday, we did the podcast on Sunday. I can't remember what else happened. But then the couple of days of the beach. So we went to the beach for a couple of days.
Talk about the beach, Robin.
So on Tuesday, we were at the beach again, 2 days in a row, and I brought my paddleboard again, as the day before. And the beach, in fact, you weren't on the same beach, but it was connected, White Rocks, one of the beaches out there, the big white cliffs in behind. And the beach is about, I don't know, 15 miles long, about that. But the waves were pretty heavy. Okay. So in the morning time, I had the paddleboard, and I was surfing on the paddleboard. Now, my paddleboard is 10 feet long. It's a big board. And it's not really meant for that. It's not really meant for big waves, but it was fun. And in the afternoon, then I got my paddle and out I went through the surf. And I went to, the idea was I was going to go out and paddle away all night. And as I was going out, a wave, really big wave, caught the board, flipped it, and hit me in the side on my right hand side, right dead center of my body. And I went on, I went, ow, bah! But I went on and I got on the board and I paddled and I was about half a mile out from shore. Beautiful, looking at all the beaches, all the coast. It was lovely. I was out for about an hour or so. I didn't stand. I was just on my knees because it was still quite choppy. But I had a great, great old time. And I came in and said, oh, I really hurt myself there. Ah, Judith. Anyway, later on that night, it was like, oh, I'll sleep on that other side. Woke up the next morning and I couldn't wipe my bum. Really sore, like bending down at all, sitting. It was like I was being knifed. It was like really sharp, sharp pain. Being the bloke that I was, because there was no marks on the side of my rib cage,
right.
I went, I'll be all right in a day or two. And yesterday morning, I'd had enough. I couldn't sleep. I haven't been able to sleep. And I thought, Judith, I'm giving in. Because she's been going, oh, go and get it sorted. Go and get it checked. And yesterday morning, I got up. And at 8 o'clock, I phoned the doctor and said, can I come to the hospital, please? And up I went, and I have some fractured ribs. So the big surfboard hit me so hard, it fractured some ribs. But I was there surfing in the middle of a big wave, man. It was in, like, tunnel, you know. It was in there, you know. Frig, no. No.
And of course, I can't make fun of you anymore, Robin, because, you know, here I am on a fucking slip and slide, and I think I cracked my wrist. So, I mean, I literally hear a clicking sound right now every time I move my wrist like this. So
that's okay. I mean, years ago, I was in Edinburgh. A boss of mine, we were at a trade show, and we drove from somewhere in England. It was Glasgow over to Edinburgh. It was the Edinburgh Tattoo was on, which is a big festival thing. And we were there, we had an extra night. We got pissed. This is about the time Judith and I started to go out with each other. It was a bit, so that's, yeah. And I remember my old boss, he was my best man, had a friend of his who lived in Edinburgh, and we were out on the piss on the Royal Mile that night, just really, just steaming, had the kebab and everything. We went back to this guy's apartment, and then at whatever hour it was a taxi came for us, and he was like the first floor, second floor, and I went bounding down the staircase and went over on my right ankle, and this is now, we are now 25 years married, right? So we got the ferry. We didn't fly, so we had to drive from there to the ferry. And I was driving, and I went, no, Tom, you're going to have to drive for me. I can't put my foot in the accelerator. I just can't. End up with the hospital, a sprain. But from that day onwards, as I walk, I click. You'd think it was my shoes.
It's oh, like, interesting. Okay.
Pop. So, yeah. So my drunken night in Edinburgh. Martin, it was fantastic races. Just quickly, Greg, I know it's not your thing, but Lewis Hamilton, like him or loathe him, I love his driving, not so fond of the guy. He is in bitter rivalry this year with a young upstart guy, okay? And to the young
upstart guy, what's his name?
His name is Max Verstappen.
Yes, okay. I've actually heard about this rivalry.
You know, Max is really, really good. So, end of the first lap. At Silverstone, they went around one of the fastest corners on the track. It used to be the first corner now, but anyway, that's beside the point. They're going around it at 180 miles per hour. Okay. And Lewis goes on to the inside of him. And you would never, ever do that. But they're pretty much side by side as they go into the corner. Lewis turns in, starts to go wide. The other guy turns in, clips the back of Lewis. Max Verstappen spins out, crashes badly, car destroyed. He ends up in hospital. Thankfully, doesn't seem like he's too badly injured, but it's a real 50-50 call. I go Charlie says, well, it's Lewis Hamilton's fault. He should have backed off. I said, well, yeah, well, Max, he had plenty of runoff. He should have not cut him off either. It's kind of 50-50. Anyway, Hamilton got a 10-second penalty, which he had to take in the pits. So he had to fight back with that. And he fought his way back, and he won the race. And with a couple of laps to go, it was fabulous. It was really good. And I mean, yeah,
it's disgusting that he could take a 10-second penalty and still come back and win the race.
Yeah.
I mean, that just that, I guess what my point is there is that doesn't speak highly of the other drivers. If you get a 10-second lead, you should be able to hold that, you would think.
Well, there's a massive disparity between the top teams. There's just a massive disparity between them.
Let's not belabor this point too much. I don't want to be like another podcast that talked about pot noodles for 30 minutes.
So, oh, goodness me, really? So yeah, the lesbian surf Nazis, they got me. Yeah, so that was pretty rough.
As they do.
I'd mentioned last week and the podcast that didn't really happen and did happen, and hopefully that won't happen this week. I have been working towards something really big within my own business, my own company. Right. And I got the call on Friday while I was still off to say, Robin, if you're interested in that thing, we'd love you to do it. So I'm taking a massive leap in my business and taking a big, big, massive role in it now. I'll be traveling a lot more next year. So the role officially starts at the beginning of September, and it will ramp up and ramp up until January. And I'll be taking myself apart from my own position right now and building into this new role.
By the way, your new title is President Grand Poobah of all ice cream scoops.
Mm-hmm.
Double check.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you get in the morning and you're watching ice cream videos on YouTube, and it's not only ice cream that I do, for goodness sake. A big rule for me. It's one of those rules now that I'm gonna regret it. Yeah, the money's great, you know.
Martin wants to know, what is your favorite pot noodle? I don't know what pot noodles are, so I don't have a favorite.
You would call it like ramen pots, the ramen noodles. But pot noodles are a very specific one. We don't really have ramen. Eric Piotrowski is the guy that talks about ramen noodles. But in like that plastic pot, you pour the water into it and away you go. So I mean, there is the chicken and bacon, Martin. It's really, you know, it's a dirty one. It's probably, I don't know if it's my favorite, but it would be my go home. It would be the one that would be familiar. It's the one that was always there. It's maybe smells like shit, probably tastes like shit, but it's shit that we love. It's a bit like McDonald's, you know?
We do the ramen noodle, but so in this house, we are not allowed to get anything except for Ichiban.
None of that shit with pot noodles. None of that fancy stuff. Chicken and bacon, beef, curry. Curry's rank horrible, but you eat it anyway. Just they're not tasty. They're tasty. They're not very tasty, but it's just something. It's a bloke food, you know. If you have a cupboard full of pot noodles, you're a happy boy. No.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything else? What about the man cave?
I've been changing things around again. I've you can't see it here. I'm just going do. I brought the old the old tube amp.
Ah, yes.
Here, and the tube amp is now running the sound. Maybe explains a few things. The tube amp is running the sound on the PC. Yes. No. Through speakers. And I brought my a turntable out again and changed the speakers. And when I had a day there when Judith was away, it was fantastic. No kids, no wife, just me. I took time to do cable management and, you know, all that sort of stuff that you never get to do. And I was just going, it's one of the hottest days of the year and you're in here. And yeah, but leave me alone. I'm happy
alone.
I'm happy. Leave me alone. I'm doing what I want to do. It's lovely.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good to get the cable management stuff going.
Yeah, so I brought PlayStation 4 out here. I brought the Switch out here. I put the Scorpio. I've no consoles in the house at all any longer. So everything's out here. So and maybe something new soon.
Yeah, we'll talk about that shortly. I guess that's actually probably everything to talk about. I mean, I've ordered some stuff, but we'll talk about that once it comes through and comes in. In the meantime, let's talk some video games.
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
Okay. Every time I hear that, I'd like, I'm a pathetic loser. All right.
Chris, you're not...
Not pathetic, I know. Thank you.
Loser.
Hey, Games with Gold. That's karma. That's karma. Uh-huh. Yeah, right there. Real quickly, Rock of Ages 3 Make and Break is now available. And then you should also be able to pick up Midway Arcade Origins. That also is available for the Games with Gold side of things. Everything else is the same, so no real need to dive into all of that all over again. Let's move on. Let's talk about what we've been playing. I'm excited. I finished Rage 2.
Ooh, okay.
I really, really loved my time with this game. The previous Rage game was a big letdown in that it didn't offer up everything it promised, right? It wasn't quite the open world.
You just easily
travel everywhere. And also it had this just bizarre cliffhanger ending. And so, coming into Rage 2, I was a little apprehensive. And for whatever reason, when it came out, I just didn't get into it. But now I decided to fire it back up, playing it on the Series X. It plays well. Looks great. There's the auto HDR happening as well, so I think that's actually helping the visuals a little bit. Just a pleasant, fun game. It's a big open world game, lots of collectible stuff. It's funny because I thought for sure there would be achievements for collecting all of the different vehicles and all of the different weapons. No. I collected every one of them. No achievement popped. Maybe it will pop eventually. I don't know, but I did not get any achievement for that. And then just this afternoon, right before getting on the podcast, I finished Rage 2, completed the story. And for a brief moment, I thought they did the exact same thing they did in the last game, which was they left you on this weird cliffhanger because there's a moment and you're like, what happened? And the credits start rolling and you get nothing.
Huh.
I'm like, so what happened? Well, once the credits finish, you then go into another cutscene, which basically gives you kind of the wrap up of the story. And then they also, it becomes Game Plus at that point. So then you can go back into the wasteland. There's still stuff to do. And you can go back out and finish collecting things, killing off enemies, all of that good stuff. So,
And is there races? I don't know the clip on the screen now. Is there races and stuff? Like before there was there, like a...
There are races you can get into. I pretty much didn't get into those. There is one kind of forced area where you have to do a race, but beyond that you can avoid them if you want. I think all of the side mission stuff is pretty much just that, side missions. They're not mandatory. It's pretty easy to stay on the path of the main story in this game. The weapons all feel fantastic. I really enjoyed the abilities, the crafting. By the time I got to the final encounter, I'll be honest, the final encounter, it was all about ammo management and using the right weapons against the right enemies. But I didn't feel overly stressed by that last kind of boss battle section. And it was just fun. It's hard to put into words, but I mean, you feel like kind of like that Crackdown 3 character by the end of the game where you can just blow shit up, you can beat the crap out of people, and you just are the man. You are the ranger, right?
It's funny. It looks like it reminds me of this bit here, even of Borderlands, but with not non-cell shaded graphics.
Right. It looks really good. I think it holds up nicely. It is only 1080p. They didn't have any kind of frame rate boost or anything like that for the game yet. I suspect that will eventually come.
It
was fun.
It's enjoyable.
Story was good. Good voice acting throughout it as well. I just, again, really enjoyed my time with it. So, I highly recommend. It's on Game Pass, of course. Or if you had it, you never went back to it, go back and spend some time with it. I think you'll benefit from it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Robin, what about your Mass Effect journey? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, life has a bit fun. But I did get tie-in this week again with Mass Effect. So I'm a Mass Effect crack addict. When I get out the game, I go, all these other games, Mass Effect. I'm on a route. I'm going to have to follow it. I apologize, but I'm going to have to follow this route through and play. Mass Effect 2 is the game that I'm on right now. I'm well into it. I have recruited now all of my crew. You have to recruit, I think it's 10 or 12 guys and girls. I have switched the robot on. I have done the weird pilot's mission, the Joker mission thing, his little mini surprise. And which is kind of cool. So I'm just working. So once you get all your guys, you can decide to do, or during the time you're picking them up, to do these loyalty missions. So they're favorable and on your side. And I've got a couple more, three or four of those to do. And then it's suicide mission time.
Okay. So quick question.
Yeah.
Now you've been playing the role of the bastard, right?
Yeah. Still.
So, in terms of these loyalty missions, how does that play out? I mean, are you just like a dick to them through the entire process of doing their loyalty mission, or?
Pretty much, yeah. But I mean, you know, you don't have to like the people you trust.
This is true. Fair enough. Okay.
Right. Put it away, I still haven't done the thing, and even Jack, the dirty tattooed skank that lives in the engineering room. She's even telling me off now, like, because I was down with her trying to get a bit, and she says, the selection of choices comes up with, oh, you mean Miranda? Or, I can't choose between yous, and stuff like this here. And the other one says, I shouldn't have to choose.
And like, and so you pick that one, and he goes like, you know, I make decisions on the battlefield. I'm not making decisions about what I do with people on my own ship. Like, I'll shag and hang it moves.
Right.
And even her's going, you're all trying to be nice to me. Get your fucking head together if you want to fuck me. Because <it's, laughs> even that dirty skank, I'm being that mean. Yeah, so, yeah. And Miranda, you go up and see Miranda, and she's still doing the, I haven't forgot about what we talked about. Okay. And when we get a quieter moment, I'll come up and see you. Well, fuck shit.
You know what? I get the appeal of the romance, you know, missions and the attempt at doing the romance. But I honestly, those dialogue moments just make me just cringe so hard.
Oh, being a bastard's good fun, but you're going, am I really going to say this? So, yeah. You know what? I love it. I mean, I find the scanning of the planets, so you go along and to upgrades, and you have to find minerals on planets, and you send out these probes. It's a great sound that they send the probes out from the ship. Yes. And you scan the planet. And I find that quite therapeutic. So I've been going round the galaxy, over to scanning for life forms, little life forms. And the odd time you find a little mini mission in there as well. And it's generally there are only a few minutes, but it makes it interesting. So I'm trying to just wipe all of that out. It's just real full-on Mass Effect nerd. So I'm going to be that for a while longer and then do some other stuff. It's interesting when I see the kids have fired up the PlayStation 4 again, and they're rattling their way through Spider-Man.
So
I have to get back to, and I've got that other little indie game. What is it? The one you watched on video?
The Last of Us 2.
Yeah, yes. Or 2.
It's a good movie. It's a really good movie.
Well, I hear there's a game of it, and I'm going to play the game of that movie.
There is a game of it as well. Although, some would argue it's still a movie. Anyway, all right. Last but not least, I have continued to play a ton more BattleTech. I've been actually playing the campaign at this point now, because the CL podcast competition kind of fell to pieces a little bit.
Canadians,
but BattleTech is like the perfect game to put on while I work, because it's all turn based. Nothing happens if I don't want it to happen, so you're not freaking out with something running in the background. So I just throw it up there when I'm working, can make a couple moves here or there, focus in on work, make a couple more moves, have a meeting, make a couple moves, finish a mission. It's been perfect. It's been the perfect sidecar for work. So, all right.
Okay.
Well, I think we could dive into the news. There's a lot to talk about this week, actually. Far more news than I thought there was going to be.
Looking forward to it this week.
Here is the fucking news.
All right. Well, let's start with the big news. Kind of out of nowhere, Valve announces the Steam Deck. It is a handheld, they say handheld PC. I don't feel like that is truly accurate, but I mean, I guess it is in theory, but I mean, it really is, it's a handheld gaming system. It is starting at $399. It is going to start shipping supposedly in December of this year. It's a pretty beefy system. What I think the irony is, it looks very similar to, kind of a Switch-esque device.
Yeah.
It does not have removable Joy-Cons. They're built in. It's about a foot wide. My understanding is it's about four times the weight of the Switch.
It's heavy. So
it's a beefy system.
I think as far as that look is, I think you can leave it. You know, it looks like the Switch, but that's about as far as you can go.
Yeah,
that's it. It just happens to look like a thing with Joy-Cons on it and a screen and some other buttons. And so that's about it. But I think it's a completely different beast.
It very much is. It is a quite powerful. One of the comparisons was it's a little bit less powerful than the Series S Xbox. So under the hood, real quickly to get that out of the way, it's using Steam's custom chipset, a 2.4 to 3.5 megahertz or gigahertz processor, a 1.0 to 1.6 gigahertz CPU. And I think this is based on the model SKU you get. I could be wrong. And it has with their 8 RDNA 2 compute units, which is about half of what the Series S has. That's why similar claims. And then it has 16 gigabits of internal RAM, which is LPDDR5 RAM. And then you have choices on an NVMe drive of 256 gigabytes or 512 gigabytes. There is a 64 gigabyte EMMC internal storage option as well. That's the cheap $399 version. The 256 gigabyte version goes for $529 US, and then the 512 gigabyte model goes for $649. So all of, and then I think one other differentiator on that 512 model is it does have anti-glare etched glass that, so I guess it'll be, you know, more protective. But that's the gist of it. It has two thumbsticks. It's got two track pads for your thumbs as well. And it has two shoulder buttons on each side, as well as two additional programmable buttons for each hand on the underside of the unit. So
if like the Elite controller.
Yeah, kind of like the Elite controller, exactly. And so a number of us have bought in on it.
Yeah, so I've watched quite a bit about this thing, and I've took some money down. We'll talk about it in a second. And what Ryan McCaffrey from IGN, who I quite like, I like Ryan, I've chatted to him, he's a nice guy, and he's been to Northern Ireland actually to see the DeLorean factory, but that's a different story. So I kind of trust his opinion on stuff. So the way he's described this, and some of the Valve guys describe it, is think of this as a PC with controllers built in, rather than some sort of handheld thing. So it is a full PC, but it's a PC with controllers.
Yeah.
So it runs the Steam OS, which is based on Linux, but it is a PC. If you wanted to run Windows on this thing, you can run Windows on it, which opens up so many possibilities.
Yes, it does. You can also install the Epic Game Store on it. That's one of the other things they pointed out. So, I mean, really, your PC library will be at your fingertips in one fashion or another.
So, you won't have to buy any new games. The idea is that the games are not streaming onto this device. You're downloading the games and playing it as you would on a PC. So it's not like some streaming device.
Ironically, you also probably can stream games onto this device.
You can use an Xbox controller if you want to use it as well. You can use your standard headphone jacks. If you just think about it again, it's an all-in-one PC, but very, very tiddly, very tiddly. So, I mean, you could stick a keyboard and mouse into it and stick it on output to a standard monitor. So it's weird. So, and again, so that Steam OS, that the shop, it is very console-esque. So it's going to, you know, so for people that want that simple entry into those Steam games with a console front end, this to me is that Steam box that was talked about and promised years ago, but it wasn't quite fulfilled. And to me, this here is more like that package. That is.
Well, and this, you know, just to kind of talk back about the Steam box, one of the big failures of the Steam box, from my perspective at least, was Valve had this great idea. But Valve did not get invested in the idea.
You're right. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they wanted everybody else to make Steam boxes and then force them to use their OS and operating system and get it to it that way. And the problem eventually was just like, well, you know, people weren't buying them. There was no incentive for these companies to make a box that was outside of the standard, what they normally would do. And so this time around, Valve is actually making the hardware you know, to kind of go with this as opposed to just trying to tell other people to make the hardware.
Here's the thing that came up with me, Greg, when I got excited about this was,
I won't have to buy a PlayStation 5. I'll buy this instead. Isn't that weird? That's exactly what one of the first things that pumped into my head was, I'll be able to play the PlayStation 5 games that I want to play because they're going on PC. And I'll get the best of the Game Pass PC stuff and access to my Steam library that I generally don't use. Plus, as I mentioned before, my job is changing. Right. So I'm on the road a lot more, a few more hotel nights, at least one night, maybe two nights a week. So I'm going to have this instead of, you know, so this will be everything. This will be my thing. So with this device and a Switch, you're completely covered.
Yeah. I mean, in a lot of ways, I think you're right. I'm still, it's funny because I'm still, even though I pre-ordered it, by the way, the pre-order was pretty straightforward. It was like you put $5 down and you were able to pre-order it. And then, you know, obviously once it comes time to ship, they'll charge you the full amount. So this way their pre-order numbers are going to look huge.
Yeah, it was slick.
But, and the other funny thing is, depending upon when you got on the pre-order list, will depend upon when they're shipping to you. So I've heard a lot of people saying they're not getting theirs till Q2 in 2022.
Oh, it depends on the SKU that you order.
Yes.
So as far as I can see, the only one that will be available is the base 64 gigabyte one.
So that's December.
Yeah. And everything else.
The 256, supposedly I'm getting in Q1.
Okay, well, mine's Q2.
Yeah.
And I've ordered the 512 gigabyte one out of the three SKUs. So what the hell, just buy it. Now, it does have an SD card in it as well, but the access will be seeming slightly slower. But, you know, I think, the difference wasn't that much. I thought, wow, what the hell.
Yeah. So, and ultimately, I kind of think I went the middle of the road pack on it because I'm still also not 100% sure how I'm going to use this device, I'm going to use this device. I do have concerns about the screen size, and that's mostly just from even just playing games on my phone. Text has been an issue. Anything that is text heavy in these kinds of devices is challenging to see unless the developer takes the time to, you know, allow for text options, if you will, for larger text on screen.
For Greg, you know, something that's the size of a Switch that I can throw into my, you know, one single rolly flight bag.
Yeah.
That I can HDMI cable in there as well and throw it up onto the hotel TV.
That is also kind of the angle I'm going at this, because I do anticipate traveling a lot more in the coming year. And so that, you know, my work will have me traveling again. So having something like this could be perfect.
Saying that, I bought stuff just to have it before as well, as you know.
Yes.
But I think
I'm right there with you.
I've heard people, people with weird opinions or strange people. The one guy was Mark something or other. I met him one time, maybe twice. I forgot him mostly. He was saying, ha ha ha, this thing will be out of date in a year. Ha 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 ha. And I'm going, well, I don't know about that, but if this lasts 3 or 4 years, it has a console, as far as I'm concerned, console lifespan. And even after 3 or 4 years, what a device to play older games on.
Yeah.
3 or 4 years, what does it matter if it's slightly out of date? I'll still be able to play stuff now. That's not that important to me. Can you imagine guys like Amar, who loves his old retro games and emulators and all that? You know, just, wow, what a device for that. So, and if it's online.
But, you know, I think the other thing that was just funny to this announcement and the timing of it, now, I'm sure Valve planned on making this announcement when they did, and that. But the optics of this was just funny because here we had the Nintendo OLED announcement the week prior, which went over like a wet fart. Nobody liked it. Everybody was pissed off because they wanted an upgraded Switch. They wanted a Switch with better internals that was actually going to display in 4K and it could do all of this, and they didn't get that. And then here comes Valve the following week, like, here, this is what you wanted.
And I would have loved
can't do is play the Nintendo games. That's the only sad part of that.
And I've got my over here. I've got like a little iPad with sound effects, iPad Pro. You know the yeah. But can you imagine? I mean, that would be perfect. Imagine that there as a switch with the controllers. That's the size thing, and that would still be okay. What the hell? You know,
I do, like I said, if I could, if there was an option for a bigger screen, say, you know, a 10-inch screen, that would have been perfect in my opinion. But, oh well, it is what it is.
You've ordered, I've ordered, Kim's ordered.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, at this stage, I could be, it's almost a year away. So, we'll see. We'll see. And Lord has his pre-order in as well.
So I think a lot of people are somewhat excited about this. This is, you know, Valve has a spotty track record, though, with hardware, let's be honest. So,
See. You can see, I mean, the trackpad there, I mean, the old Steam controller, they've brought some of that haptic stuff from that was on the Steam controller as well. So they've learned a bit like that, the Steam Link. It's a good device.
Yeah, but they stopped supporting it.
But did it, you know, in that movie Robots, find a need and fill a need. Was there really a need for a Steam Link? You know?
Probably not.
God bless his soul, the guy that used to be on with Larry, you know, Major Nelson. And he passed away, he had cancer. But he left Xbox, and he went to work for this company. And they sold briefcases that could fit Xboxes and PlayStations inside them so they could travel. Now, you know, find a need, fill a need. But how many people actually need that? How many people, you know, that are actually on the road a lot are those, the press? After you've sold those to the press and those guys, you know?
All the people that needed it.
Anyway, I guess as Lord says, he's excited but cautious. I agree.
Yeah. Agreed. But it just send it across the board.
It's nice to be surprised.
Yeah, and it was a big surprise. Let's just face that. All right, let's move on. We've got some other stories to talk about here. So moving from one successful company to Stadia. Stadia announced Google will be making the cut for the developers more attractive. Those behind games released on Stadia after October 1st will receive 85% of the sales revenue, with Google only taking a 15% cut. The split applies to the first 3 million of sales and will only be in place until the end of 2023. So I found this kind of funny. So
sales per one game or in total?
I would assume per game. I would assume that's per game, but a couple oddities to this. One, okay, first and foremost, good on Google. They're trying to make some moves. They're giving a better cut to developers. That's to encourage them to be on the platform. Power to them. I think that's a smart move.
Mm-hmm.
I did find it funny that they put an end date to this, that this only applies up until September, you know, the end of 2023. Is this when they plan on stopping the support of Stadia?
Well, you know what? They won't have to. They can give as much as they want away, because they won't actually have to be given that much away anyway.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair.
Bless their hearts.
Bigger news, and this is an interesting one because it was rumored before Netflix was interested in getting into gaming, and they've made a couple games. Netflix has actually published a few games, but now Netflix has said they are planning to expand the world. Their Netflix world into the world of video games. So the streaming service has hired former EA and Facebook executive Mike Verdu lead the effort.
An EA executive, good call.
Netflix hopes to offer video games on its streaming platform within the next year. The company will reportedly build out its gaming team in the coming months to be able to start offering games for streaming within the next year. And this is per Bloomberg. So the company won't be making a separate platform for its upcoming video games and will instead make them available alongside its shows and movies under their own category. Also, the streaming giant reportedly has no plans to charge extra for game access, though it's unclear if the additional content will lead to future price hikes. So,
Angry Birds again. Yay!
Yeah, I mean, it'll be really curious to see how this plays out. You know, are you going to be able to link a controller to Netflix? You know, there's a lot of moving parts here. That's probably the biggest question I have is how is the interface going to work? Because right now, obviously, Netflix is on so many devices and a lot of devices that just are not gaming devices. So how do you get the gaming side of it to come? But also, it's a little, you know, thinking about the other big players in the gaming industry, seeing Netflix kind of making a move like this has to be, especially for, say, Game Pass.
Well, they have the big bandwidth servers there for 4K streaming now. So, you know, they, I mean, as far as their architecture or their infrastructure is concerned, they have it. Right. You know? And you'd think, you know, them and Amazon would probably be the best, and maybe Microsoft at it. But you mean definitely got the marketplace for to pull in casual gamers. Might be for us. It might be Angry Birds. It might be the Match Games. Kim will be over the moon. James of War.
How dare you disparage her like that, Robin? She's a Witcher. She's a Witcher fan. That's a grown up game. And we're going to talk about that actually in a little while. Anyway, so Netflix is moving into the gaming space. It'll be curious to see. Just saying. Psychonauts 2 will feature an invincibility mode to allow basically accessibility for anybody of different gaming skill levels to complete the game without penalty. For whatever reason, this like angered the internet. I don't understand why. It's not like we haven't had games have this kind of, easy modes in the past. So, but for whatever reason, the fact that they were making a point of talking about it, I guess, put people off.
This is aimed at the same people that can't use photocopiers.
Well, it might be for me. I'm just saying.
Yeah, can't find a Xerox, you know, can't find a photocopier. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I encourage this. Look, you know, I think the cool part about this and accessibility in allowing anybody to finish a game out without penalty of just being able to play through the story and see it all, that's not a bad thing, because how many times do we have games?
You know, work, man. You got to put the work in. If it's not work,
you just
fight for it. If you don't complete a game of the titles, you know it's close to my heart. You should be electrocuted. So if you've left a game, you've been playing it for a while, and you've left it, and you went on to play another game, there should be some wee sensor in your controller that gives you a shock that makes you go
to the game. I'd be dead by now, because I'm the king of doing this. I start a game and then I move on all the time. But this kind of feature, it's meant to get people to be able to finish out a game. I have no problem with it. I don't know why. You know, I think there's the e-penis side of it where people are like, oh, I finished the game on hardcore.
Yeah.
For you still get to brag about that. Somebody putting it in invincibility mode and playing through, no big deal. Just
for Mark, I suppose, isn't it, really?
Possibly me as well.
No, but you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. It's the moment you got your Nintendo Power magazine and got the cheat code to make the game, and you're totally invincible. That game was spoiled for you for all time. If you had all the ammo you wanted, all the health you wanted,
No, see, okay. I'm the use case scenario here. I watched the playthrough of The Last of Us 2, and I was more than happy. I didn't feel like I lost out on the playing of the game. I was able to watch the story, and that was what I was most interested in. I could care less about the gameplay of The Last of Us 2. I just wanted to see the story, and I was able to do that.
So, but you missed the feedback of the controller in your hand.
Don't care about the feedback and the visceralness. Sometimes there's games that I just want to be able to get through, and especially a story-based game. You know, if I get to a point in the game where I'm getting frustrated, I would rather not get so frustrated that I don't finish the game, but rather just be safe. Screw it. I'll put it in invincibility mode, and I'll finish the game out and see the entire story that the developer wanted me to see to begin with.
So, at the moment, all of those games that you haven't finished, you can quite easily go onto YouTube and see the end of them, see the play. So, are you doing that at the moment?
Not at the very moment, Robin, no.
Okay. Moving on.
Yes, moving on. Let's see. Some bad news for Ghostwire Tokyo. It has been delayed until early 2022. Basically, they cited COVID and that they wanted to basically protect the health of the employees and everyone at Tango. And so they just am letting the game slip out. I'm sure Microsoft was not at all unpleased by this move because, of course, Tokyo, Ghostwire Tokyo is a PlayStation exclusive right now for I don't know how long. I think it's either a year or 6 months, something like that. So either way, that is delayed until early 2022. Now, I mentioned The Witcher. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is getting free DLC inspired by the Netflix series. CD Projekt Red will release its free next-gen update for The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt later this year. The studio announced today that with joint WitcherCon event in Netflix, that they're doing this. I think Kim will be excited. This will get Kim to want to go back and be The Witcher all over again.
Want the writer unicorn.
Yes. Anyway, we don't have any date specifically on when it's coming out or really what is going to be in that downloadable content other than potentially some.
Yeah, but it is cool. So, you know, the game and the books inspired the game. The game inspired the series. The series is inspiring content for the game. That's kind of cool.
Well, and this is a good thing of they were faithful in terms of the Netflix show to the game.
Mm.
And so when you watch The Witcher 3 series on Netflix, I mean, I was like, oh, that's in the game. I remember that from the game. So, you know, different things like how he casts his spells and the need for the spells and the potions, that kind of thing.
Okay.
It's a good thing, right? More content. It's always a good thing.
Do you know what? If it keep Kim out of trouble.
It will keep Kim out of jail, I think. So that is a positive. Absolutely.
Close the windows. Close the blinds, Ken, when you're playing that game.
Yeah, please. All right. Let's move on. A real quick shout out, by the way, to the chat. It's been a pretty active chat. We've had Martin in there. We've had Lord in there. We also have Shank McStabby Face is in there, as well as, of course, our Gamer Girl 27 Kim sitting in there. So shout out to them and some new releases. Talk about it.
Okay, new releases. Wow. From July 18th to 24th, we have got Akabi's Trip, Hellbound and Debriefed. I like the sound of that game. That's for PlayStation 4, Switch and PC. We've got Chris Tales for the PlayStation 5, Xbox, pretty much everything. Death's Door on Xbox. And Xbox, Death's Door. Ender Lilies, Quietus of the Nights on PlayStation 5 and 4. And Monster Harvest on the everything, July 20th. Pokemon Ununited on the Switch.
That's actually Pokemon Unite. I'm messing with you there, Robin.
Oh, okay. Well, that's too polite. You meant to say that or something like that. There, you know, that's you're learning about how to do that, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, you try a wee bit more, okay? Last on the PlayStation 5 on everything, and Cunts Must Die, along with all the orcs, and that's the third version of Cunts Must Die. Cunts Must Die is a real game, and it's coming out for everything on July the 23rd. And that and your orcs are the games that are coming out over the next week. Flying around!
I'm excited for Orcs Must Die 3. I love the first one.
I could fill a kill a few cunts, let me tell you.
Doesn't want to.
Love that.
Also, Death's Door. I've heard really good things about that game. I don't know anything about it, though. I've just been hearing people saying, oh, they really enjoyed their time with it. So,
I get the letters at the door all the time, like, you know, funeral services, and put $5 away a week for your cheap funeral, your Death's Door. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was me passing by the bathroom last night. I was looking at the door. I was like, ooh.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, I can't pee in there. That's the closet. Okay, it sounds like a good idea. Hey! I've never done that before.
No. Anytime I have peed, it's always been in the toilet or in the sink.
The toilet. Yeah.
Okay. Robin.
Yeah.
Victory's achieved.
Goodness, yes, we have a winner. Victory's achieved is this thing, and it's when you complete a game. That's all you have to do, so that you don't get electrocuted for leaving it. You win prizes. You get entered into a draw, and once every 3 months, we have a draw. And the last quarter, it was won by Mr. Killer Cranky for finishing Super Mario Odyssey, and he got money. He got £15, 20. And all you have to do is take a photograph of yourself standing in front of your TV, your monitor, your Switch, whatever it may be, with the credits of the game coming up. And you tweet that off to @OC_podcast, the hashtag victory achieved. You can email that us off to podcast@ocpod.com or stick it on Facebook at fb.ocpod.com or WhatsApp groups, whatever, or give us a call or send us a letter if you're not on Twitter. Twitter used to be the thing, but it's not just as popular anymore. So yeah, that's what you do. We get it. You entered into a draw and you win. You can win. And the winner, my goodness, Shank McStabface. I don't think I've ever finished a game completely in my life. Shank McStabface.
He that's what the invincibility mode is for right there.
No.
Yeah.
No. You have to finish a game to completion. You have to do. You have to pick a few. Go back a bit. Finish something not too long. Like Portal 2. Grab Portal 2. You'll enjoy that. That'll be really good to finish to the end. You know, that's the, you know, do something like that.
Mode. It'll be great.
Yeah, YouTube. Okay, the winner who's going to get £15 or $20 for finishing Zombie Army Trilogy for this bloody week, or in the last few days, who's in the chat tonight, is Lord. Lord, congratulations.
Yes, congratulations, Lord. That's
the winner. And we'll be in contact to see which way you want that, for PC, Xbox, PlayStation, whatever it may be. Or you want me just to come around and hand it to you? I can do that. So, yeah, congratulations. The next draw now will go until the end of September, so get your entries in. And this week, the people that finished their games are since the beginning of July, because we've missed a week or so here. John Mouse, he finished Her Story, which is that FMV game. Mr. Miyagi also finished an FMV game, but a really old one called Black Dahlia. And Mr. Miyagi, who's out in Australia, finished Just Cause 3. Had fun with that. Lord, of course, finished Zombie Army Trilogy 4. And Joystick J, he finished Mass Effect 2. And now we're going to play the effect that Greg is so happy wasn't played to him.
Greg finished Rage 2 this morning.
Did you victory achieve it?
I did. You didn't check Twitter.
And Martin, he didn't do his thing. You know, he didn't. He said he finished a game there recently. I finished Rage 2. Good game. You know, so.
I finished it a while ago.
For people that have hangovers.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
Well done.
Yes.
Well done.
Well done. Well done, everybody. Congratulations, Lord, that we are happy to see you win. And we will march on. We'll do it again.
Yeah, Kim says it's about time Greg finished something. Yeah. Can't even finish himself, Kim.
My wife said the same thing last night.
Honestly.
All right. Let us just wrap this up nicely. Robin, let's do some shout-outs. Let's try and get this show done.
Well, you can look at the chat there again. I don't really have anybody that I want to shout out. Just a crew and people that are interested. I mean, there's lots of guys there that, you know, in the community that are brilliant. Like Matt, if Matt ever wanted to come on to the show, Matt, give us a shout. Anybody if you want to come on and try out, because everybody's got busy lives at the moment, and we could do with an extra little member in there. I'm quite sure. I would love a new member in me. So To the people that listen, especially the guys in the chat, I love the chat thing. I think it's kind of cool. That interaction's brilliant. Yeah.
Also, shout out to Boomer MDS or MD5 in the chat. Yeah. It's been an active chat. I love seeing it. So, thanks to everybody being there.
Yeah, okay. So that's it. Have a good week, everybody. Have a safe time. Good timed game. I believe in the UK anyway, this week is supposed to be another really good week of weather coming up. So be safe and be sensible. Yeah. Get on with it. Yeah. I mean, there's only
how can we possibly tell people to be sensible, Robin? You broke your ribs on a surfboard. I cracked my wrist going down a slip and slide while drinking. I don't think we're the barometer of sensibility.
Look, Judith said to me, Robin, you're going to have to slow down a bit. You're in your 50s now. You're going to have to slow down a bit. And I asked the question to the boys. Boys, do you want me to start being sensible and not like skateboard down the hill with yous and flicker down the hill with yous and go surfing and do silly things? Do you want me to stop playing games? Do you want me to just to turn into an old man? And they completely and utterly voted, yes, I should. No.
I was gonna say, I might, you know, you're stacking the deck by asking them, do they want you to continue on with your intent? Of course, they want you to continue on.
Want to slow down that way? And I hope I never do. So,
I doubt you, Robin. I doubt you will. Besides, you have plenty of other ribs on the other side. You're fine.
I'm like Richard Branson without the money.
Yeah. And most importantly, I hurt my left wrist, which is not the important wrist. So. Just saying.
So what you need to do, you need to sit on that right hand wrist then. You just sit on it for about 15 minutes and then try that. It feels like someone else. So far.
All right. Hey, thanks, everybody. Again, karma, Robin. Karma.
Karma.
We'll be back next week. We thank everybody. Don't be sensible. Just go out, have fun, live your life.
Ginger Pete.
Yes. Ginger Pete. We do miss Pete. We'll try and get Pete on next week. I believe Mark is going to be on next week. Yeah. We will get the audio sorted out. I know the levels are off on the show. Hopefully it's not been too bad. And All right.
See you guys.
Puberty's rough.
Oh my god. I drove.
Get us out of here.
Pac-Man bets. No. Mater. We are Mark's family. No. Christmas. No. Fucking hell. Where's it going?
General was not recognized.
Okay. I'll do this one.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.